Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Good to have you aboard. I am your exhausted host filling in for Dr. John Stamey, Dave Atwill this evening. I hope everybody listening is doing fantastic and is enjoying whatever in the hell you got going on. Can't really enjoy the weather right now because it's just too damn hot. But nevertheless, hope everybody is doing well. I am going to pass it around to our esteemed panel and then on to our very, very special guest tonight, which I will keep a secret until the official. Now I go out here with the crickets, so y'all pardon the crickets in the background. Would. So, my esteemed panel, we're going to start off out there in Arkansas, or Arkansas, as I like to call it. Granny Hulkster, it's good to have you back, ma'am. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I've been really busy. I'm getting ready to leave for a couple days to go to my 41st high school reunion in Kansas, and I'm going to see my mom while I'm there. So just got back from our convention from Cincinnati, you know, and everything from the Moose Lodge a couple weeks ago. So, you know, got back from that. So I've been busy, but I'm glad to be back. So
it's good to hear your voice and everything. And whatever you do, make sure you're getting some rest and everything. I know sometimes we get too busy for our own good. So good to have you back, but whatever you do, make sure you rest up. We can't lose you. Out loud, but
yes, sir.
I will definitely
rest up for sure.
I'm finding the hard way about the rest thing right now as we speak, and I can't get my cigar lit. There we go. Now we're gonna move north up by to that Indianapolis area. And I'm going to ask Mr. Tim Armstrong how he's doing this evening. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, how you doing? Doing good up here. We had a great day here in Westfield, Indiana. Decided to make it a pool day after I got off work, so that was pretty awesome. But I'll note that let everybody know it's kind of weird, and Todd can probably concur with this. And I assume maybe Granny, I'm not quite sure, my geography is not the best, but we had this haze because of all the forest fires going on out west. So it was kind of weird. It was like a sunny day, but yeah, you had this just overall haze. It was kind of weird. It was like it wanted to be overcast, but it wasn't because you could still see blue sky. But anyway, looking forward to a cool show.
Yeah, it's definitely good to have you on. It's a damn shame those folks on the left coast can't get their stuff together to the point where you can't enjoy a sunny day. Nevertheless, without getting off on a tangent, it's amazing how far that smoke can wave. I mean, God forbid somebody drop a match in a certain place and the whole place is covered in smoke. So, and, you know, that's kind of a spooky a look, too. I know we've had fires down here. As rare as they are, it's kind of funny. You get that orange hellish glow to the sky and everything. It's real creepy. So, yeah, hopefully all those folks out there in Oregon are keeping their eyes peeled. And, hell, there ain't much left to burn in Portland, so I guess the fire will just stop there. But, nevertheless, Tim, very good to have you aboard tonight, despite my bad West Coast jokes. Good to have you aboard. Now, we're going to stay over there in Indianapolis, though he does belong here in Jacksonville with me, my good brother and anchor man, Todd Saxon. What is going on?
Hey, man, I'm doing outstanding. It's supernatural. I'm ecstatic to be here. And that ain't no joke. The sun had the sci-fi effect going on early when it broke the skyscrapers there in downtown Indy, and just had that. Just you could look at the sun without burning your eyeballs out. It was just had that wild sci-fi effect. Kept waiting to I don't know, things like The Hitcher and, you know, everybody else to start showing up in the neighborhood. And just, of course, down there where we work, we got some characters anyways. But, yeah, man. I'm going to throw in the quick tangent. You guys talk about those crazy skies. I don't know if anybody remembers the skies from Mount St. Helens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that cloud wafted for quite a while, did it not?
It sure enough did. Sure enough did. All right, let us, tangent done. Let us get back on track. Did I hear you mention a special guest?
Yes, yes, yes. We do have a special guest tonight returning to us from God knows where.
He's been on the show before?
He's been on the show before, believe it or not, yes. And you all might know this gentleman. Dr. John Stamey. How are you doing, sir?
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I couldn't be happier to be here. I really did not. It's wonderful. Yeah, and I bring a topic even. So if that's okay, Dave, in your capable hands, you have done so far an A+ for being a host. You really do. It's been great. Yeah, I got some news. I got some fun stuff. And what can I say? Well, I know what I can say. I can tell you about it.
Well, before we do that, somebody help me out here. I'm trying to place that voice. I know I've heard that voice before somewhere.
I knew this guy from somewhere.
Once or twice, yeah.
Oh, man. I'm sure he doesn't owe you money, though. That's a good thing. So, Dr. John, you have got a new book in the works, on the way.
Yes.
Checked in the mail. So how about fill us in and what you got going on?
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was driving somewhere, and the voice said, write a book called Surviving a UFO Invasion. And so I wrote it down on an envelope like I do everything. I've got more envelopes ideas than you've ever seen. 2 days later, I looked at it and I said, I really like that. What happened is I have a friend named Pat McCray, and he had posted an article about surviving alien invasions or something. And I really liked it. And then I went back and looked, and it was gone. And I said, no. So I called Pat up. I said, Pat, why did you get rid of it? I don't know, John. I got some weird, creepy remarks. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something's real creepy. I'm going to write the book. He said, well, good, you write the book and put your name on it. I said, well, I will. So anyway, I was thinking about it, and I've got the chapters laid out. I've done a lot of the research. I've called up some buddies of mine that are involved in the UFO community. The one that I get to interview later this week is John LeMay. He's from Roswell. He's a native of Roswell. He's written over 35 books, and he knows all about the Roswell deal. He's only 35 years old, but he interviewed a lot of those folks back when he was in his mid-teens and everything. So John's got a lot of experience with UFO invasions, and I can't wait to get this book out. It's going to be out on Labor Day, and it'll be available. You can go to survivingufoinvasion.com, and it'll take you to the Facebook page and join it, and I'll make sure that you find out about it when it comes out. This is all right, Dave. May I explain to everybody just why this is important to me? Or can I have the floor for about 3 minutes?
You got the floor for the next 80 minutes. You knock yourself out.
What happens is...
Struggling with your audio, boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're losing you a little bit there.
I'll move out of the kitchen. All right, is that getting better? Is that getting better?
There you go.
Yes.
Bueno.
Okay, good. So what happened is I ripped this picture, looked, and nothing. And then one day,
we're
3 years
doing it
ago,
again. Okay, hey, Dr. John, go back about two sentences, please, because that,
okay.
What you first started saying broke up, sir.
I'm going to go outside so that you hear me. So what happened was I wrote this book about 6 years ago. It's got a lot of stories that are important to me, like the explanation of the Mandela effect, the explanation of the hollow earth, some remarks from Ingo Swann, the great remote viewer, and my proof, and this is interesting. Are all of you familiar with one of the greatest paintings of all time, The Scream by Edvard Munch?
Right.
Okay. Well, I prove that actually the little dude in the picture is only 4 feet 2 inches tall. And he is actually, he's a gray. He's a space alien. And that started weighing heavily on my mind. And I said, you know, I got to get this out. So I went ahead and published it. Sold about 1,400 copies. I probably gave away about 5,000 because it's still a free book on Kindle. And so there are 8 stories about alien abductions. There are 2 stories about Bigfoot. 1 story comes from our buddy Todd Saxon. And the rest of those stories are personal. Those 8 UFO abductions are all about me. And I have an implant in my right arm. My favorite surgeon, Dr. Trey Donaway, said, "John, what in the hell is that?" He said, "You got something there." He said, "Did you break your arm?" I said, "Never. Never broke my arm, broke my leg, never broke my arm." So I believe that I have been victim of 8 periods of missing time, which are UFO abductions. And so I decided to go ahead and write this book. And I'll tell you why. Okay, I put out the first book because it was important to me. It had good stories in it. But this book, all of a sudden I had the realization, we are already in an alien invasion. We have had UFO abductions since 1900. Are you aware of that?
No, I'd be willing to bet it was probably before that, but things weren't so concentrated, so folks didn't realize you were gone, if you understand my meaning. So,
that's right. We don't know, but about 1900, we started having newspapers throughout the country. Thank you, Ben Franklin. We started having newspapers throughout the country, and we could start tracking those. My friend John LeMay, he just came up. He's got a series of books called 20th Century UFO Investigations. And the first one is 1900 to 1919. And by the way, I was.
Wait a minute, Eddie, starting late.
Oh, I know, but he's got this special series starting at 1900. And he called me up. He said, "John, I just wanted you to know that I dedicated the entire book to you." And I said, "Oh, okay, great, thank you." And I went on. I mean, nobody's ever dedicated a book to me, especially a bestseller. He sold about 4,000 or 5,000 copies now. And so he sent me a copy of the book, and I held on to, I didn't open it for 2 weeks. I said, surely he didn't really he didn't really dedicate the book to me. I'll be damned, he dedicated the book to me. And it's there on page one, and I called him, and I couldn't thank him enough. He finally said, "Shut up, or I'll take the dedication away." I said, okay, I got this. So anyway, I just decided that, you know, I am involved with Bigfoot. I run two Bigfoot conferences. I am involved with South Carolina Lizard Man. I love the Lizard Man. I do. And I'm standing out here outside looking at this beautiful full moon, thinking about the Lizard Man. I know I am really weird. Granny, you'll agree I am weird, right?
Yep.
You better
for
agree
sure.
I'm weird. So anyway, I'm standing out here with a drink, watching the full moon and just loving it. But I decided that my next book, I put the Lizard Man companion on hold. It still has one more chapter that I've got to write called Lizard Man Around the World. And I decided to go ahead and write this book, and it just came to me fast and furious. So I wanted to say that, yes, we are in phase one of an alien invasion. We are being abducted. I have been abducted 8 times. I've got something to prove it in my shoulder. My surgeon has felt it. He said, "John, that's very strange." I said, "I know. It's kind of weird." So I wanted to take this time, and I appreciate this 10, 12 minutes, to be able to talk to everybody about the fact that we are under siege from UFOs. We are being abducted. Cattle are being mutilated. We live in frightening times. I mean, ghosts, you can run away from. You can go into a haunted house, and you can find some ghosts, and you can get the hell out of there and not worry about it. But you can't escape from these aliens. They can come through your windows. They can come through your walls. They can come through everything. They are terrifying. And I was speaking to a friend of mine, and he said, "Well, how do you feel about them?" I said, "I'm terrified of them. I mean, I don't know what to say, because, I mean, there's nothing you can do if you're going to be abducted." It all started with Betty and Barney Hill, and I talk about them in the book. And as I said, it's frightening, but we better watch out. In one of these days, we're going to have 4 or 5 UFOs descend upon the Capitol, probably when Donald Trump gets reelected, because at least they'll know that he will handle it properly. Joe Biden will say, "Oh, how nice." And he'll go back and eat some food. I'm sorry. Did I really say that? I apologize. But anyway, so that's what I'd like to do. That's what I'd like to discuss a little bit, is we really are under siege from aliens. We have it at the movie theaters. We've had Independence Day. We've had Mars, the original Mars attacks. We've had, I mean, and I think the first alien film was The Day the Earth Stood Still, that great film starring Michael Rennie. It was terrifying. It really was terrifying. If you looked and thought about it, I mean, he was here. Klaatu was here. And what more can you say? So what do you all think? What do you all think about alien invasions? I think we're in the middle of
it. Well, here's one I'll throw out just because you started with 1900. There was newspaper published article, funeral bell, things like that from down in Aurora, Texas, which is northwest of Dallas, I believe. That's just a really amazing story that involved them doing the last rites for it. And there was another incident somewhere in Missouri. Can't remember the name of the place. But in fact, at the crash there, they had called local clergy to come in and minister last rites. Just now, things were different then.
What I'll tell you is the Aurora, Texas incident is my favorite UFO thing. It is my favorite. It is the best documented. There are problems there. I even suggested a very particular expedition over there to the crash site. And the guys down there in Aurora said, "No, don't. We don't want you to do that." said, okay. I said, I'll get to the bottom of this. Don't worry.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff going on with that one. Different angles from the guy that bought the property, the judge's property later, that developed that outrageous arthritis. I believe it's because parts of the UFO were thrown into the well. There was, I think, probably one of the most interesting parts of that whole tale, Dr. John, is that whole bit about somewhere around 73, somebody put in a request to exhume the body, and it got denied on such and such date. So they decided to do just one last look around, whatnot, the next day. They went out there, and the grave had, and they refused them to exhume it because it was on church property, all right? So they go out the next day. The grave had been dug up, and even the tombstone was missing.
Yes, yes, and yes. You are 100% right. Now, John LeMay has talked to me about that at length because he has been there to Aurora. He, you know, by being in Roswell, it's easy for him to get over to Aurora. And it's just, it's frightening. I mean, we had an alien, and we buried him, and he's gone. So, I mean, I don't know what to say, but in this whole real world, you know, I'm standing here, and I want to ask y'all something. I'm standing here looking at the moon. The moon looks different than it did 20 years ago. Does anybody remember the man in the moon? Do you remember you used to could look at the moon and it had a picture of an ugly, ugly face on it? Does anybody remember that?
Yep. I know what you're talking about.
And it's gone, right?
I thought I read somewhere that the moon is actually moving away from us, like, I don't know, like an inch a year or some trash or some crazy thing.
Well,
of course, would affect our tides and all that.
I'm looking at the moon, and the moon is just not what it was when I grew up. It looks like it looks like Groucho Marx with a big nose. It really did, and it was rather ugly. And Groucho wasn't exactly the prettiest man in the world. He was the richest entertainer of all time, but he wasn't exactly the prettiest man in the world. But we are, you know, we are coming up into a new era, and I am frightened. And I wanted to go ahead and write this book and get it out there, make it the first book, and just go from there. I'm surprised no one's done it. So anyway, I think we all need to be careful and sleep with your light on. I would absolutely sleep with my light on. And here's what I can tell you, and this is important. If you believe that aliens are in there to come get you, start praying out loud to Jesus, because they don't like Jesus, and they will run. Now, I came at the head of Tennessee MUFON about this at one of my conferences, and I was told, well, we don't really get into religious things. I said, well, you better get into something that will keep people from being abducted. And the answer was, well, we don't do that. I said, well, that's a shame. I mean, I absolutely accosted that lady. So, I mean, I don't know. It was frightening.
I don't know.
So, what do we do?
Nobody's going to support any type of religious stuff when it comes down. I mean, look what Darwin went through and all that kind of stuff. The minute you start challenging any type of, Bible and science thing, nobody's willing to let any of it marry up. And, you know, in the Bible, there are some, the story of Ezekiel and all that kind of stuff. There are things out there that, you know, and they pointed out certain Egyptian hieroglyphs and all that kind of stuff that shows some type of aerial entity of some type or another. So, I mean, the stuff's been going on through history. Now, with me, you guys know me. I'm quick to call BS on a lot of the stuff. Just because if it ain't there, it ain't there. But, you know, one of the things I've been saying for a little while is with the advent of the cell phone, if you stop and look at the cell phones we have now, the cell phones are more powerful than a computer you probably had 10 years ago.
Yes.
Namely, the cameras on them. And the cameras are so good on the phones now that it's actually outdoing cameras in themselves. You know, people are filming movies on it. People are, you know, using the pictures for actual, you know, photo. Good God, excuse me. Hurricane force winds coming through, guys. That's all good. Nevertheless, I think I got some brains on our last.
I was going to say that's not funny. Bless you, by the way.
I appreciate it. God knows that thing about damn tore my head off. But, you know, with all that being said about cameras and everything, the one big excuse everybody used to have back in the day with alien sightings and that kind of stuff was I didn't have a camera. I didn't have a camera on me. Well, nowadays, I mean, there isn't a day go by where somebody doesn't post a fight breaking out at Taco Bell over the Diablo sauce or two chicks scrapping over some damn Aussie Moist hair conditioner over there at Walmart or something. The excuse of saying I don't have a camera is no longer valid to me because everybody has the phone, and the phones are so sophisticated now. God knows what you can do with it in the event you actually came up on something. Now, I understand the whole, you know, well, people, you know, they get nervous. They don't know what. Yeah, and I get that. But here of late, we've actually been getting documented stuff, and the documented stuff, and we've spoke about it before, everybody has the friend that wears the tinfoil hat and that kind of jazz. You know, the guy on Mork and Mindy.
Dunaway are coming up with designer tinfoil hats.
But you kind of back your stuff up, though, whereas there's the people out there. God, who was that guy's name? Exidor. Todd, you got to remember Exidor on Mork and Mindy.
Oh, yeah.
He's always come up in the brown robes all the time.
Yep.
Okay.
Well,
we all got that one friend that's like that. And but now we're getting documented stuff for more reliable sources. And when I say reliable, you know, your crazy friend who's probably done a few too many narcotics in time, I'm sure he's a credible guy, but it doesn't seem that way. He's an honest guy, but yeah, right. He probably sees a lot more things than you will ever see just because of the things that he's done. But when you start seeing airline pilots and naval personnel and, you know, and to go deeper into naval personnel, we're not talking, you know, potato peelers. We're talking guys on the bridge. We're talking pilots. We're talking tech guys and all that kind of jazz that are actually documenting alien aircraft, or what we would deem as alien aircraft, floating around. So it's one thing to have the squirrely guy at the end of the street tell you about it, but it's another thing when your doctor would come up and tell you about it, if you understand my meaning. So it definitely stirs some thought with the recent stuff coming to light of what's going on out there. And, you know, like Todd was speaking on earlier, only God knows what has already been said and seen and done that has been swept under the rug. And to be honest with you, after the way folks acted during this COVID thing, in the event that there are aliens out there floating around, we're all better off just not knowing, because people can't even damn negotiate around the common cold these days, much less damn deal with a damn outer source coming to this planet. So, but the argument is there, and I would feel that the argument's probably stronger now than what it was 10, 12, 20 years ago, you know?
Oh, I think so.
Well, absolutely. And that's why I guess aliens have always been, because we have some control over ghosts. We can go into a haunted house and we can run out. That's fine. But aliens, you don't have any control over them. And you don't have any control over the government with aliens. I'd be glad to share part of a sleep. That may not seem like a big secret, but I did. Disappointed me is a half gallon of bourbon, and we were about halfway through, and he told me that his father was a colonel in the Air Force and was in charge of a particular base. And he also told me that where the Roswell was, and that he had seen them. And 2 days later, I was followed by a black car for 3 years. Because he had gotten frightened, and he told his dad that he had told me. He didn't trust me to keep my mouth shut. And I can tell you that stuff is real. They're listening to what I say now. I will not say where they are. No, it's funny. Everybody guesses, but nobody knows the answer to the question. And it is frightening. The government still keeps those secrets. That's... You got to watch out. Better watch out. Better not cry. And better not pout. And better not tell where the UFO, where the aliens went. Because I'll tell you what, I would be scared to death if I told that publicly. I won't do it. So there's, you know, there's still some secrets with the government, and there's secrets everywhere, and they want to talk about it. Oh yes, it exists. And they come out with them 1784. Now, come on. And Project Blue Book said, oh, there's no such thing as a UFO. Everybody forgets that. The Project Blue Book said there's no such thing as UFOs. And then they come out with reports that said, yes, there are things that we don't know about. So, I don't know. Crazy.
Well, let's go with Project Blue Book. That's something that's kind of fun. They had... let's say that there was a Blue Book A and a Blue Book B. One was what they gave as answers to the public. The other was their answers internally.
Well, it's
where
still
they knew better on certain things.
And there was a story, and this is the one that I think bothered me the most. There was a fellow that did UFO research, and he was part of the government. And he got way too close to everything. And next morning, his house was gone, and every member of his family was gone. And that late that night, somebody came and took his house away. And it was frightening, and nobody knew where it was. Nobody knew where the family was. And again, it's frightening, and that's what worries me. I mean, Bigfoot I can handle. You know, if I'm out in the woods in the wrong place, okay, it's my fault. If I'm in a haunted house, okay, it's my fault. I don't know about these aliens. That's what worries me. And I think we're in phase one of the alien invasion. Only time will tell. 15, 20, 30 years will tell us my book is correct. We will see. I'm frightened.
So well, let me ask you a question. Ask on the alien invasion thing and our government involvement. Do you believe that we can, that, now keep in mind Eisenhower had just finished a hunting trip, President Eisenhower, and no, Tim, I'm not old enough to have an I like Ike button. He had just finished a vacation, and he took another vacation down to Palm Springs, California, and he disappeared that evening. And when he showed up some 24 to 36 hours later, mentioned something about having to have emergency surgery for a cracked tooth or some such, dental surgery. But there are reports that he went to what is now called Edwards Air Force Base and effectively signed a contract, if you will.
A treaty.
I don't, what's the right words? It's
a treaty.
He signed a treaty with the aliens. Okay, so you're tracking, you're following me.
And 17 people went up, and only 4 of them came back. That's what happened, as far as I know. And, you know, I don't know, it's frightening. I mean, you know, Eisenhower was a good president, I believe. He was a good man. But I think he was boxed into a corner with that. And that's all I'll say. And it would be easy to test him for radiation in a medical facility after he's been gone for 48 hours. It would be easy. It would be easy to test him for radiation. And I don't think every I think every president is apprised of this. And I don't know how many of them really do anything. I know George Bush was terrified about it.
Well, which one? Because depending upon how you look at it,
the
elder was, depending upon if you think about it, he was part of Majestic.
Yeah, but I think the younger Bush was terrified of this. He was on Jay Leno, and someone said, all right, because it was like ask the president questions. Someone said, tell us about the UFO program. I can't tell you about it. Someone said, didn't your daughters ask you about it? Yes, they did. Did you ever tell them about it? No. He implicitly implied there was a program, and he knew what he did. If you listen,
okay,
to
I got a little question on some of that. I felt like maybe they did or did pass things to certain presidents, and I'll say past Nixon because of what I'll call a stunt he pulled. Do you know about the story where he supposedly, no Secret Service, nothing, but him and his good golf buddy, Jackie Gleason, he took Jackie Gleason to a place and showed him, this is in Florida, if I recall. And it's already published out there, so I'm not the one breaking the news. Do you know that story, Dr. John?
No, I don't. And if you could please email me that, I appreciate it. I would like to put that in my book. Could you do that?
Yeah, I'll have to look up some a little information on it. But yeah, But supposedly, Jackie Gleason was very disturbed after that. But I thought at a certain point, like, who did they cast stuff to? Who did they pass stuff to? Because a lot of people don't realize that Jimmy Carter had a documented UFO incident prior to becoming president. I think it was during one of his working on governor events.
One of his terms as governor? Okay, I didn't know that. If you can send me that. I'm not the end all be all, but I'll tell you what. These stories need to come out. They need to be documented. They need to come out.
All right, so Dr. John, let me ask you this. I'm going to play devil's advocate on this one here. I'm going to throw the proverbial glow sticks at you.
Okay.
For this one. So my question is, why the United States? Okay. Why is it this stuff? I mean, because there are rogue, and I use the term rogue, countries out there. I know that's an unpopular way of saying it these days, but there are countries out there that don't have their shit together. We can name a handful of them off. So, and I'll throw a couple out there. When Muammar Gaddafi was in control, China's another good. Well, China's kind of, I don't know. I wouldn't say China, because China, they've done a fantastic job of killing millions of Muslims and keeping it under wraps. Whereas the United States, you know, if you tell somebody, you know, that they can't do something, it's all over the world in news, but yet China can wipe out entire groups of people and nobody blinks an eye. But I'm not talking about your big hitters, your China, your Russia's, your United States, Great Britain, Germany. I'm talking about some of these goofy, oddball, never had their shit together countries out there, like Iran, Iraq, Libya. These countries, and I'll even go so far, I know we have global listeners, and not to offend, but you know, even some of the Czech regions out there, they've been so unstable over the years with going back from, you know, coming out of communism and going into different types of government. My question is, or my what has my brain twisted in this thing is that when you have these countries, I can see where the United States or Russia or China could, or even Great Britain, could keep things under wraps. I mean, for crying out loud, the royals, I mean, right now they're in such a panic because Prince Harry's out there running his mouth. Whether any of it is true or not, I can care less. That's why we beat him in 1776. But they're all in a panic because there's concern that he's going to start airing out secrets. So what I'm wondering is, why are the aliens always screwing with the United States? And if it's not a United States-only type thing, what kind of knowledge, if let's just say a rogue state like a Yemen or an Iran or something like that would have knowledge, don't you think that they would blow the lid off the whole damn thing?
Well, I think that we're not the only country that they have dealt with. We just have a bunch of loudmouth press people. I think they have dealt with Brazil, Chile, Australia, Indonesia, the Philippines, and several countries in Africa. That's what I think they have. They told those folks to keep their damn mouths shut, and they have.
Because I would figure that if anybody screwed anything up, and that really is the fear of nuclear weapons, for crying out loud, is
you know, and the Cold War is a good example of it. Everybody in Russia, all the kids in Russia, were doing nuclear drills in school, worried about the United States blowing them up. Everybody in the United States, the kids were doing nuclear drills, worried that the Russians were going to blow them up.
Well,
and
they were worried about
really
Cuba. They were worried about Cuba.
That's exactly it. Is that you had those two countries that, despite the fact that communism, I don't agree with communism at all, but it was a structured government. But then when Cuba got hold of them, it was Katie Barnador. Why? Because Fidel Castro was a screwball. So it's the same thing with this alien stuff, is that, you know, I can see the Eisenhowers, who had a military background, keeping their mouths shut. I can see, I can't see Bill Clinton do it. They probably didn't tell Bill any damn thing. But I can see the Reagans and the George Bush ones keeping their mouths shut. Hell, I could even see Lyndon Johnson, as crooked as he was, keeping his mouth shut. But I don't see the Muammar Gaddafis. I don't see the Ayatollahs. I don't see the who was the other guy? The one president.
I got to make you hold on there. I got one for you. One of the single best military UFO incidents recorded came from Iran pre-Ayatollah.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well documented. In fact, because for those that don't remember some of the history, we actually got along with Shah.
Right.
They had our aircraft, and they had an incident where there was a UFO encounter. They scrambled the birds, and they got up there to go in range, and they ran up into, and this will sound familiar with a lot of the stories for a lot of the military aircraft, stuff wasn't working for them. Suddenly, certain things, you know, they go to click to arm the missiles, and it just, all kinds of stuff went out power-wise and all that, and a series of incidents, and U.S. military went over there and debriefed the incident.
No kidding.
So they've had their stories, and oh, by the way, there was a documented crash there, too, fairly recently, and some people are assuming that they did some sort of back engineering that allowed them to drop that drone that they got there within the last 10 years. They got dropped out of their airspace. They not just dropped, but basically captured intact.
Okay.
I mean, I don't see how some of these countries would have the ability, you know, here in the United States, you know, we talked last week about Area 51, and or we talked in past shows about Area 51, how it's kind of a decoy where they say, okay, yeah, all the spooky stuff's happening in Area 51 when it's really happening in Area 58 and a whole other region in the United
52.
States. But, yeah, in some of these countries, though, they're so unstructured that it just the coincidence that the government or the, let's just say, the important people, the ones who are everybody's important, that's a horrible way of saying that, the people, the shakers and the movers, okay? In other words,
okay,
if you work in a Walmart in Outer Mongolia, or in like some of these African nations, they change names like every 2 or 3 weeks. Look what's going on in Haiti, for God's sake. Haiti's another good example. Not taking anything away from Haiti, for crying out loud, that's not my point, but there's no way in hell you could tell me that if any type of alien knowledge was going on in Haiti, that they'd be able to keep it under wraps. They can't even keep a president. So, you know what I mean? It's just one of those paradoxes that I don't, I often wonder, why is it always us that always seems to have the stuff? You know, is it a technological thing? Is it, because I've said it before when I get on my, you know, America's Great Rant, when I talk about, you know, all the things that have come about globally thanks to the United States. You know, your cars, your, you know, your telephones, you know, computers, the internet, all that kind of stuff originated here. The rest of the rest of the planet has 6, 7, 10,000 years to get their stuff in line, but stuff didn't start moving until 1776. And, you know, so would that be an attraction, if you will, for these aliens? Would it be something that the aliens are going, okay, we don't need to talk to these assholes over here in Cuba, but these guys here in the United States have their stuff together, so let's go ahead there. You know, is that an argument? Is that a possibility?
Maybe. Oh.
They know more about us than we do.
We don't know a lot of things that go on. So, what can you say?
Yeah. Dr. John, you still with us? We can't hear you, buddy. Dr. John, this is Dr.
Yeah, he said, what can you say? It sounded like he answered. He might, it might have dropped mid-sentence.
Well, I'm going to throw this out there. I don't have much of an opinion, but the little opinion or whatever that I do have is pretty ignorant to think that, well, no, that's a mean way to put it. I shouldn't say that. My personal opinion is, if we think about space and the solar systems and all that crap, and how it just keeps going on like infinite, you know, something we can't even fathom to understand, it's just how it just keeps going. There's no end to it.
You're talking
so,
about the Drake equation.
Perhaps. I'm not sure if that's what it's called, but just the fact that we're the only planet out of the infinite space that there is to have any kind of, you know, intelligent life. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, even the Catholic Church.
I can hear an echo with all of us, by the way. Just
it out there, it's been going on the whole show. Yeah, sure enough. The but yeah, I think, you know, mathematically, the Drake equation breaks it down. Tim, you might be able to understand it because I sure can't, but it's just breaking down the odds, really, when it comes down to it. They've got so many per ratio, how many could support life, how many could support, you know, and it just keeps narrowing it down to the point of intelligent life. You know, how much is it? It's mathematically, you're just talking, you know, even if you're doing the odds at 1 in a billion, it's still pretty good odds.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, Dave,
are you there? Well, yeah, I'm here. I went in to check to see if we.
I thought you might be working, and I was just checking.
So he did not show back up. So I will keep my eyes peeled on the text. Matter of fact, I will send him a text right now. and say, hey,
yeah, I tried to send you a text earlier and didn't go.
Just in case he might be getting probed by an alien as we speak.
Well, hell, if that's the case, he's getting luckier than I've been lately. Luckier than I've
been. I'm sure I say he's a step ahead of the rest of us. That's for damn certain.
Maybe he's using the date rape drug.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's maybe that's the trick. He's taking it.
Let's see here. Oh, sending him a text.
Oh, God, are you sending a text you can actually read on the air? Or is this one of those, hey, Dumas?
Hey, way to go, butthead.
Hey,
no, it's the thief.
Yeah, go with the... Yeah, you know why you're not on the call. We're talking smack about you, right?
So the preemptive text has been sent. Waiting to hear back from Dr. John. And hopefully he's he might have been on here running his mouth, and next thing you know, the black van's pulled up in his damn driveways for all we know. So, Dr. John, when you get back at it, send up a flare so I can click you in.
Was I going deep with too many of those alien stories? I know. Did y'all not really know any of those stories like Dr. John did that I mentioned?
No, I hadn't heard any of those. But it does, you know, I kind of was thinking about it coming back out here when I was talking about, you know, why would they get a hold of the United States before anybody else? Because of our technology, we're, you know, a little further ahead of the game than a lot of places. But, you know, earlier I had mentioned how there was stuff in Egypt that depicted alien contact. Well, who was pretty much
Let's call it time travel, because there was stuff on the hieroglyphics that looks like a helicopter.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's guys in spacesuits and all kinds of stuff. Way ahead of their time. Da Vinci, for crying out loud. All the stuff that he, you know, came up with and everything. Could it be that these outside entities attract, if you will, I don't have a better term, but attract to the higher, not higher intelligence, because I'd never blame America to have that, but as long as we have the Kardashians, we do not lead the league in intelligence. But technology.
Not as long as we have their followers.
Yeah. And the Egyptians were pretty much the head honchos for a couple thousand years on the planet. You know, there is a possibility that maybe there's some credence to that.
I'm going to say not just technology and media and stuff like that, but I feel like, especially since there's been a lot of shutdown with stuff, with the subject, if you will. I feel like once that first A-bomb went off, let's say interested entities started paying more attention.
Well, that too is a possibility. Yeah. That just communication ability. I mean, hell, how far out, and you guys, you're probably going to correct me on the craft name I throw out there, but I think it's the Voyager, is it not, that has totally left our solar system?
One of them definitely has. It's pretty impressive because they were all suggested to have limited lifespans, and some of that stuff they've done had surprising success.
Right. And regardless of the battery power on these things, they're still floating around in space somewhere, right? I mean, it might be
somewhere.
Aimless travel. But they're actually still out there, God knows where, floating the hell around. And
in theory, they could still be flotsam or jetsam. I don't know which one they'd be because they could be a little bit of both because we kind of jettisoned them from Earth, so they could be jetsam or flotsam, and they're just floating around out there after they were sent out to float anyway. So I don't know which one they qualify as.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, that's probably too old a phrase to use for certain people, Tim. I won't mention any names.
Nice.
There was actually a group, there was actually a metal group they met years ago, back in the 80s. They used to rock pretty hard. But yeah, that may be a connection right there, is that when you get a message in a bottle, you don't contact your uncle.
You give it to Sting.
You contact the person that wrote the message in the freaking bottle. So
no, give it to Sting.
Give it to Sting.
See what I did there, right?
Yes. Very good. But yeah, there's a possibility that the Voyager has been out there floating about and maybe just throwing something out there that some alien life of some type or another has come in contact with that and said, okay, this belongs to you, so I'm going to take it back to the source,
All right, hey,
it's
I got
like finding somebody's ID card.
It was a variation of finding somebody's ID card that happened earlier today. Something that came to mind the other day, because in theory, radio waves will continue on and all this stuff. We know certain ones can get trapped in the atmosphere, but certain ones should be able to break it and just continue on forever. So we hear about these various burst radio waves that come in and stuff and get detected, and that's some pretty neat stuff. Have any of you heard stories of people picking up broadcasts or various radio messages from the past?
Never heard that.
God. Maybe I had too much of a exciting childhood. And yes, Tim, I agree. The echo it just continues to get worse as the show goes on.
Yeah, it's actually kind of difficult to hear what's being said because of the echo. And that might partially. That's rough.
Here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn off, you guys bear with me here as I turn that off.
Okay, it looks like Dr. John's trying to message a group.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Now, is the audio with me getting
a
little bit better there?
Yeah, and I don't hear an echo when you talk either. In fact, I don't think I hear it on myself right now.
Ah, must be this new
granny,
speaker.
Granny's jumping off. Be safe, Granny.
Granny,
okay,
have a good
guys,
evening.
Thanks. Sure. Have a great week. Have a great week.
Do the same. It's good hearing you.
Take care, Lori.
You too. You too.
as I drift back in here.
Okay, whatever you changed just really fixed that echo, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just took it off the
whatever
speaker.
Whatever that was, that was
it. Cool. Well, now I know.
Dave,
and
write it down. Write it down.
What I did is I took everything off speaker, and now I'm just holding it next to my head. So what I might have to do is get, like, some duct tape next week so I can tape the phone to my head so my arm doesn't fall asleep.
I have no doubt. All right, John can't get his
all right.
Oh, my God. That's brutal. Just brutal. I'm sorry, it happened to Dr. John.
If that's really him messaging us.
Oh, what if it's somebody else? Good point.
Uh-huh.
So for the sake of science, I'm going to try something. Hang on, guys.
Okay,
so
for
how do I sound
sake,
now?
I'm going to ask him the safe word.
Gotta have that. So how am I sounding right now? Is there an echo right now at all?
No.
Negative. I don't hear one.
Ah, so it must be that speaker. Very good. In the name of science, I have learned something tonight. So now I'm using my speaker on my phone, but not my speaker that I had Bluetooth-ed to the phone. So, okay, so we learned something tonight. Ixnay the speaker and just use the phone. So sometimes I got to use the speaker to out-shout the crickets and toads out here. So maybe perhaps we will forego this wonderful contraption from here on and just drop back to using the regular phone audio. So that's good. Hey, we're making progress on this thing.
Ta-da! Well, sorry about blaming it on everybody else when it was just old Diamond Dave doing the lump of gold routine.
Yeah, I get a new speaker, think I'm really kicking ass, thinking I'm Bill Gates or something, and it turned out to be the abomination. So at least we know that now it'll no longer join us. Not that you're a bad speaker. I don't mean to offend. You're actually a very good speaker. I like you. But when it comes down to doing pop culture stars, we're going to have to sit you out, okay? No offense, Light. You're very good. Very good light speaker combo thingy that I bought. So, nevertheless, we got to the bottom of that Blue's Clues mystery. So, back to the...
Oh, man. Yay, Blue's Clues. We haven't referenced that on Pop Culture Stars in a while. Oh, my God. Remember when I told you about the neighbor going out in his robe to pick up mail in the morning? Or put mail in the box for the outbound, couldn't remember which, and all I could think of was the next-door neighbor being Ric Flair going out in his robe. And what if Ric Flair was your neighbor and said he would start out with the woo-hoo, and then he would be like, we just got a ladder.
Except Ric would never tie his robe shut. We already know that. So, it would probably have to be on HBO.
It was, oh, man, what a trip.
A clue. God, Jesus, that show haunts my dreams. I used to love
actually,
that.
I look, amongst the ones the kids watch, that was not the worst. It was nerve-wracking, but it was not the worst.
No, it wasn't.
All right, we're down about 20 minutes. We've lost Dr. John. He has not responded to the safe word request.
Does he know the safe word?
Hoping.
Yeah. Looks like.
Well, man, I think he would.
There we go. All right. Yeah, I think his phone died on him. So, nevertheless, we will carry on
we will soldier forward because the three of us have the ability, whether you want to call us the Three Amigos, the Three Stooges, the Three Caballeros, Three Musketeers. What other kind of threes are out there?
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. I'm going to share something from work.
This ought to be good.
Okay. He answered the correct safe word. Dr. John is safe. Unless they've been monitoring our stuff for a while. So sure enough, in the message we got Richard Bourne, we did not get Velvet's updated version, but his partner's update. So we were. Man, he's still at 3%.
Yeah.
So during a meeting this evening, we've had some tasks have been sitting out there. We hadn't necessarily got responded or whatever. And I told this one guy, he said, hey, let's add it to our things that we escalate to get help on to meet with the source of the request. And he came up with this idea and did it. I said, hey, James, that was brilliant. You're the best. And he goes, well, every day I wake up and say, WWT. And, oh, my God. And if you had any clue how tight, how anything but civil, they weren't necessarily uncivil, but you couldn't exactly call them civil, these meetings were a year and a half, 2 years ago, the fact that something like that would be said, and you don't want to know the payroll on this call. That was just, it was hilarious. I can't believe he came up with that on the thing. I was dying. I was dying. I was like, oh, God. Yeah, I've seen some of the responses. At this point, I believe Dr. John is safe just for the listening audience.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sure
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, he's doing all right. A little phone issue going on, which I totally understand because not long ago, I was having some charging issues myself with my phone, and then I invested like $2.25 in a can of canned air. Yeah, it's all about technology. Canned air. How cool is that? The guy who sat around one day and said, you know what? We need a can of air and sell the hell out of it. And by God, it saved the day with my phone.
I'm a big fan of him following up on doggone, hold on. Give me a moment here. The circus people. Barnum and Bailey. Bailey said, I think it was Barnum said, there's one born every minute.
Yeah, man. And somebody canned air, and a lot of people bought it. So, funny story. Speaking on things that, and I know we're getting short, but just a kind of little tangent here, because we haven't tangented much tonight, oddly enough. But years and years ago, I've had my nose broken so many times that breathing is always a challenge.
How many times was it?
More than I'm willing to count that many times. And if I learned to duck, I would probably avoid a lot of these things. But nevertheless, my phone, my face attracts fists from time to time back in my wilder days. But when I couldn't breathe at night, I would go get a piece of speed tape. And for y'all out there that don't know what speed tape is, it's medical tape. We just used to call it speed tape.
So you're talking about the whatever the breathe right things before breathe rights.
Yeah, and I did that shit for years, man. And then one day I'm out there and I see this breathe right thing, and I'm like, son of a bitch, man. I've been doing that for years, you know. And the other thing was when I was going through my divorce, when I went through when I was first separated, and not to get too deep into that topic, but I got separated over Columbus Day weekend, to kind of give you the time frame of it. And that Christmas, I was broke. I mean, I was already going through hell with the whole separation thing. Money was just disappearing everywhere. Nevertheless, I had enough money to buy Christmas presents for my folks and my brother. And so every dime that I spent was on the present. I didn't have any money left for wrapping paper, believe it or not. And I know wrapping paper is cheap, but I had nothing left. And
I'll tell you right now, we used to save the comics from the Sunday paper as wrapping paper.
Yeah, you know. So I was managing a food line at the time. So what I did is I grabbed three brown paper bags and put all mom stuff in one bag and all pop stuff in one bag and all Dan stuff in one bag, and I stapled the top together, and I wrote in black magic marker on the side, Mom, Dad, Dan. And Christmas morning when I came by, I dropped these three brown paper bags full of loot for each one of them under the tree. And it was pretty pitiful. I was just totally demoralized for the whole thing. But, of course, we got a good laugh out of it, and it actually became a holiday tradition now where you don't wrap each other's presents. You put it in a bag and hand it to somebody. But, nevertheless, that was a goddamn gift bag. Had I just stopped what I was doing and called the patent office that afternoon and said, hey, I just invented the gift bag, I'd be the guy going up in space right now because I'd have more money I could ever wipe my ass with. So another missed opportunity. Don't never let a good idea go to hell on you. Because I always say the same thing about Alexander Graham Bell. Before he invented the telephone, he was sitting in his house one day and said, you know what? I want to talk to somebody who's not here. And he went to work on it.
No, actually, it was a different idea. He was like, oh, God, if I got to talk to you, I don't want to have to see your face.
Dave, just tell me this. If you ever go up into space, please be sure that you go up in a rocket that doesn't look like male anatomy.
The old Austin Powers.
Exactly.
That looks like a giant.
Exactly.
Two balls.
Or have two versions. Have the circumcised and uncircumcised version.
Oh, wow. If somebody
I can see you both thinking about that one right now. You guys are both sending damn suggestions, aren't you?
If somebody ever asked me what an uncircumcised junk looks like, the first example that comes to mind is E.T. when he was riding in the basket of the bicycle with the towel wrapped around his head.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry I ruined that picture for you guys. So from henceforth, whenever you see E.T. in the basket,
yeah, that's
go, oh,
more
yeah.
or less what I was thinking. Thanks. I won't get that one out of my mind. That, just one of those stupid things. You guys know I come up with stupid thoughts. Just, you know, looking at something and thinking, huh. Remember when they were selling the bikes at Sam's? And we always got people, it don't matter how big the label is or what, you know, company makes it or whatever. And they were like, what model is this? And all I could think of was, let's see if I can get this right. Old boy that Mike Myers, what was the stuff they used to do in there, the series they would do out of their basement or whatever? And all
Wayne's
I could
World.
Think of was when he'd say, Wayne's World. Yeah,
Wayne's
all
World.
I could think of was a Wayne's World response. What brand is it? Swing!
That'd be a great name for it. Easy. That's another universal
yeah,
word
a
right there.
Mic. Yeah, just modify the Mike Myers response. Swing! Oh, my God. Yeah, just dumb
shit. We are visionaries.
You know.
We have no idea the potential we have out here on this show. We just we throw things out there that have never been thought or said before, and by God, we are visionaries. We just don't realize it. We are the Renaissance.
Yep. And Tim, when you tell the kids the brand of their bike from now on, just go ahead and go old Mike Myers.
They won't have a clue what I'm talking Wayne's about.
World. I'm sure Kim will appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you talk about Wayne's World. Wayne's World, it's a Wayne's World moment that actually got me and Dale together. Because if you recall, Kim Basinger in that movie was talking to Garth.
I don't remember her.
And she asked Garth, well, would you like to get lunch?
Oh.
And Garth said, yeah, well, I like to eat lunch all the time. Well, that was actually what happened to me and Dale. Dale had asked me out one day for lunch. And my dopey ass was like, yeah, I'm hungry as hell. And that was our, that was, I had
go,
no
Garth.
Idea what the date. She thought it was a date.
Now
me,
I remember,
I was just
yeah, now I remember the whole Garth scene.
But, yeah, that was that's an actual truth that she hit me up for lunch, and I was like, yeah, hell, I'll eat. So it's amazing how.
Here's a story I know I told before. It's a variation of that, let's say, you know, because it was definitely inspired by Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, or that would they, or they were just part of the same genre stuff. Yuki and I started living together, cohabitating, whatever. Her family was pretty sure we wouldn't make a go of it, so they were trying to not make us obligated. So Yuki decided we had to have pets. We went and got two cats. She named them Bill and Ted after Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and they were both
no
female
way.
Cats. Sure
female.
Did.
Wow.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always said, I always, you know, for a male cat, I always wanted to just name them Old One Eye. When they're walking away from you with the tail up.
Yeah.
Which is an old That's Benny Hill joke, just to give credit where credit is due.
Ah, not a lot of people know that. Another Benny Hill joke.
Not a lot of people know that.
That's right. So we got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to pass it around the room. And then we'll sign off, so that way my old tired ass can get lathered up in liniment, pre-base some ibuprofen, and get up at 05 and do it all over again tomorrow. So,
oh,
with all that
so
being
cute when you say get up at 05. That's probably about when Tim gets up. Am I right, Tim?
It will be here awfully soon, yes.
Oh, God, so you're sleeping in later than that. So here's what's funny, is even when I'm teleworking, my alarm, I'm getting up at 4:30.
God, why?
I'm
going to
go into the office.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
You realize it takes me a while to bump into walls and stuff like that, but I'm not. I'm usually logged in by 5:15 a.m.
Doesn't take you that long to put your makeup on, does it?
Yeah, oh, Lord. You... it takes a copious amount of coffee for me to get moving, and I just, look, y'all know I already told my kids don't follow my footsteps. I walk into walls.
I'm the same way, but, man, I just try to slam the coffee down as quick as I can because I'm usually online by 6:20, but I'm still fumbling around and trying to get my coffee, and I'm doing good if I'm sitting right back at my desk at 6:30, and I'm still waking up. So I start off with emails, the easy ones, and then I work my way to the hard ones. But, man, 4:30, wow.
I'm not a coffee guy at all. Coffee does some pretty nasty things to my anatomy, so I don't drink coffee these days. So, but
well, I count on it for my morning routine.
You know, for all of us that are military trained, you do the three S's in the morning. And when I'm showering, an interesting little thing, I don't do it in the wintertime as much.
Just for the record, I want to make sure Tim knows that doesn't mean hitting snooze three times.
No, certainly does not. So when I take a shower, especially in the summertime, I will lather up with hot water running. But then when I go to rinse said lather off of me, I crank the damn water back to a kind of not cold, but almost a
the temperature.
Yeah.
You drop the temperature.
And there's something about that kind of less than lukewarm, cool water that kind of just, especially when it hits me in the dome, now that I no longer have the mullet, it's that one that gets the Rocky music playing in my head. And at that point, I move forward. But, yeah, sometimes it's cold water that just kind of gets things on the move for me in the morning. Problem is, my head is probably the only thing that feels okay at this point, seeing I had to climb a 10-foot ladder about 19 dozen. It's everything from the neck down that's not feeling worth a shit right now as we speak. So I'm expecting the overnight to be loaded with Charlie horses and constant flipping and flopping in my sleep, but nevertheless.
Well, you know what? That cold water might be a good idea, Dave. That might stop me from tripping in the tub.
It may. Taking the porcelain nosedive. That's if your tub's made of porcelain. I don't even think they're made of porcelain now. They're made of some type of plastic shit now, if I'm not mistaken. But nevertheless, the thought that counts. But enough about my showering habits. We'll go ahead and pass it around the room since the British lady's already telling me we got 90 seconds. But nevertheless, we will move forward. So, Tim,
be quick.
What kind of closing do you have for us, bro?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I was prepared to go off on a tangent about Bigfoot and stuff. And we can save this. It'll be a good segue into maybe next week or something like that. But, no, they were watching a documentary, and I believe it was called Discovering Bigfoot. And one of the key things that they told me is apparently, I didn't know any of this with all of us talking about it, Canada recognizes either Bigfoot or Sasquatch as an endangered species. I didn't know.
Really?
And I'm going to leave you with that. Yeah.
And just think, Oklahoma started hunting on it. Take care. Be safe. Just take care of one another. Be smart out there, Dave.
Most definitely. Well said. Yeah, my little piece real quick is despite the fact that I am fatigued at the moment, I can tell you guys, I was a corporate worm, a drone bee, if you will,
for 36 years, and I did a lot of hard work. I worked a lot of long days. I worked a lot of days off, and I made somebody else famous doing it. So my point is, if you have something you're good at, if you have something you enjoy doing it, get on it and start making something of it, because despite my tired feeling right now, I lay down tonight knowing that all the work that I put in today is coming back to my household. So for the first time in my life, my work is actually counting for the people that mean the most to me, is my family. And
yes, sir.
So pay your bills. I'm not saying just walk off your job tomorrow and say, hey, I'm going to do this because Dave said so. But get your bills. Excuse me. Get your bills paid. Live financially responsibly. You know, keep it within the ditches financially. And then reach that point where you can do what you enjoy. You can do it at your pace and do it for yourself. And it's such a liberating feeling.
Let me edit your comment, because I know your workmate. Not everybody got a workmate like that.
And, you know, we discussed it on the drive home. As a matter of fact, Todd, we're out there near Stone Bay where we're working right now. So we get serenaded by the gunshots while we're working. But the two of us on the way home, you know, we had mentioned that no matter how sore we are, no matter how tired we are, no matter how many bee stings and sunburn we get, whatever work we did that day is ours. And it's one hell of a feeling. So whatever you do, folks, if it's writing or drawing or singing or whatever that you do and you feel like you do it well, don't stop doing it because life's getting in the way. And I am a prime example of that. Always, always keep your dreams in sight. Always keep that thing going. And it takes hard work, and it takes responsibility more than it does hard work, to be honest with you. So, yeah, keep chasing it. Keep following through. Live responsibly. And by God, kick some ass. So with all that being said, I am going to take one more drag off my wonderful cigar from Godfather Cigars this evening.
All right. While you're doing that, I'm going to edit your comment. It took me, look, I got to do 20 years in the Marine Corps. Great job. Took me 13 years after I retired from the Marine Corps to get where I'm at. Don't give up. Keep trying.
Yeah. Keep getting it.
I can't remember the damn movie. Tim Allen. But all I can say is never give up, never surrender.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I am going to stagger back in to Atwell Manor here, in which I will, hey, Sadie, there's my little sweetheart right there. Say hi to everybody, Sadie. Good dog. And I will cue in the crusty, salty British lady. Gentlemen, thank you again for a wonderful show tonight. Dr. John, you are more than welcome back to your show at any given moment, sir. We've already discussed it. So.
Exactly to his own show.
This will always be your house. So for crying out loud, come on back. Tell us about what you got going on. Tim, Todd, gentlemen, I couldn't do it without you. Very much obliged. And folks, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Stars. Y'all have a wonderful week. Talk to you soon.
Be safe, all. Take care. Stay smart.
British lady.